मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। I salute Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, by whose grace the mute become eloquent and the lame scale mountains. May Krishna be the guide of our lives. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace be unto all. Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is explaining the mystery of the Atman or the Self to Arjuna. Arjuna did not want to fight. He came to fight, but he was afraid of his opponents. Moreover, he was deluded. His mind was confused. So Krishna brought these teachings of the Self to Arjuna with a view to eradicating the body consciousness. You see, we sometimes say, renounce the world. The world is not outside. This whole world is your body. This is the world. And you are carrying the spirit within. So the whole mystery in spiritual life is to get rid of body idea. I tell you frankly. The devotees get rid of body idea through surrender. Lord, I am the instrument, you are the operator. I am the chariot, you are the charioteer. I am the house, you are the indweller. Lord, this body, mind, are yours, use it. In this way, a devotee cuts the attachment for the body. He removes his ego from the body consciousness. A jnani, a follower of non-dual Brahman, gets rid of body consciousness by denying the body. I am the Self, I am the Atman. I am neither the body, nor the mind, nor the Self. I am neither the elements, nor the five senses, nor the five pranas. Chidananda Rupa, Shivoham, Shivoham. I am that existence, knowledge, bliss, absolute. He denies. It is very difficult to deny the body. It needs tremendous strength and stamina. Arjuna was confused because his mind was covered with a thick piece of cloud of ignorance. Where there is ignorance, there is grief, there is desire, there is delusion. So Krishna brought this beautiful teaching of the Self, of the Atman. What is that Atman? Self-luminous Brahman. That is this Atman. It is self-luminous. He is going to explain what is the Self, what is the Atman. Perhaps you have noticed, cloud attracts cloud. I have noticed in the Himalayan mountain range that snow peak mountains, that 20,000, 30,000, 20,000, 22,000 feet above that mountain range, you know, they attract the cloud and they stay there. Just like magnetic, operation, you know, it is very strange. So human mind, always remember, the more it is weak, the weakness grows more and more there. It is hard to explain. In darkness, if you walk, if you stumble first time, you will remember, you will stumble again. So you will fall and you will continuously you will fall. Same thing in spiritual life. The moment you make one mistake, you will remember. One after another, mistakes will come. Mistakes will come one after another. The Swami, could you give an example? If you drop a ball, tennis ball, from your hand, from the fourth floor, you will find it will drip over the steps one after another. You can't stop it. One fall means perhaps 40 falls. So in spiritual life, one should be very careful. Yeah. You know, those who are alert, those who have powerful discrimination, those people seldom make any mistake. When mind is confused, at that time people make mistake. But if the minds are not confused, then the people would not make mistake. Now, sometimes we say, try to practice, I am the Self, I am the Atman. It is very easy to say, but very, very difficult to practice. One among, you may say millions, can hold, I am the Self, I am the Atman. This Atman is verily is widely practiced by the monastics in the Himalayas. Even they cannot hold it. There are various kinds of monastics, you see. Shall I tell you all those things? There are Shattaguni Sadhu, Rajoguni Sadhu, Tamoguni Sadhu. Among the monks also, there are various kinds of holy people you will find. There are Shattik monks. Calm, quiet, serene, desireless, contented. They are always thinking about this. Unperturbed, free from body consciousness. They are Shattik Sadhu. Rajasik Sadhu, they are very active. They want to show how spiritual they are. They want publicity also, you know. They will go on TV or radio talk and will declare that how happy, you know, how spiritual they are. There are some Tamoguni Sadhu, hopeless Sadhus are also there. Tamoguni Sadhu are, if they will go for begging, and if you do not give them good food, they will quarrel with you. Greedy, lazy. At the same time, they are, you know, they take coca cloth. Swami, why do they take? There should be variety. Don't think, you know. That is the beauty of Vedanta. Greedy, worrisome, sensitive, egotistic. Perhaps they all, most of the time they are talking about food. Sensitive. But all these monks take that same bhav. I am the Atman. I am Brahman. Look, very few people can practice it. Swami, shall we not practice? You must. आशुक्ति आमृति कालम न यद्वेदांत चिंतया वच्चिन्न अवसरम दत्वात्मनम आत्मनम पश्ये टिल यू गो टू स्लीप टिल यू डाई प्रैक्टिस आई एम द सेल्फ आई एम द आत्मा डिनाय दिस वर्ल्ड प्लीज शो मी व्हाई व्हाट शैल आई गेन यू विल गेन एवरीथिंग He who has conquered his self, he has conquered the whole universe. To Swami, I can say, I am the Atman, I am the Atman, I am the Atman. It is mere words. Will it help me? It will. Perhaps 98 times you forgot yourself. At least two times, twice you will remember. That twice, the two successful attempts will lead you to the destination. Well, what do you mean, Swami? My favorite example is, you taste sugar every day with your coffee. You are a rich lady. And I am a poor man. I tasted perhaps once in my life that a little sugar I got and added with my tea or coffee. But the taste which I got once in my life will never leave me. The taste will remain. So if you repeat, I am the Atman, I am the Self, birthless, deathless, immortal, none can destroy me. That we are going to, Krishna is going to tell you that. That will lead you to destination. Krishna promised the last verse of the second chapter of the Gita. Esha brahmi sthiti partha nainam praipa vimushyati sthitvai samanta kaleopi brahma nirpanam rechati. Listen Arjuna, I tell you the secret. Isha Brahmi Sthiti, this is called establishment in Brahman. Attaining this, nobody gets deluded. Isha Sthitvaisam Anta, even at the time of death, if you can touch this Atman, this Brahman, even for a second, you will attain Nirvana. You will attain complete liberation. There is no more rebirth for you. Krishna promised in the Gita. This Atman is to be thought of, meditated upon again and again. You fail 1,000 times, doesn't matter. At least once and twice you will make it. At least at the time of your sickness or at the time of your bad moments of your life, it will give you tremendous strength. Just now I was talking to one of my teachers, that lady who taught me how to speak in California. She is in a hospital, she has lung cancer. So I called her. Goodness. She was in a high mood. Tomorrow they are going, perhaps they may remove her heart, what is called lung. She was telling Swami, another comedian came to see me, and that comedian said to me that you, lady, you are a very bad person in your last life. I told him, that is true, it may be true, but you see, I am a brave person. I am going to finish all my bad results of my bad action in one life. Just how I could, you gave a beautiful answer. And you people live long and you enjoy the results of your action many, many, many lives. You come and go, I am not coming back again. You know, they are actors and actresses, their conversations are also interesting. So anyhow, main thing is this. Think of yourself. Who are you? What is the goal of your life? That lady has gone to the hospital. She carried a picture of Holy Mother. Swami, it is a Saint Joseph hospital in Burbank. The Swami priest came, you know, that she was there, but they know that I am a, you know, famous patient here. Anyhow, just see, this is the result of knowing the self. She had tremendous spiritual background. Swami, I am not worried at all. I am thinking of the Lord. And if I survive, I shall see you. Yes, see? She is a very successful actress. Her husband is a movie director. And now she is divorced. Verse 17. Avinashi tu tadviddhi jina sarvamidam tatam vinasham abhyasyasya na kvashchit kartum arhati. Krishna says, what then is what which is always real? That by which all this is pervaded, known to be imperishable. None can cause the destruction of that which is immutable. Know it for certain, O Arjuna, the Self, the Atman, which pervades everything, is imperishable, indestructible, immortal. None can destroy the Self. You are thinking that you are going to kill your grandfather, your cousins, your guru. What are you talking about? You are talking about the body or the self. You will not be responsible for the death of anybody. They are Atmans. You are also the Atman. Who kills whom? Tadviddhi. Know it for certain, you are the self. I told you a story of Swami Turiyananda. One day, a direct disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, once he was begging alms, and he was thinking that I lead a vagabond life. I am eating food. I am taking food from these poor people. I am no good to serve humanity. It is better to take away this life. My life is useless. He was a mendicant, monk. And he was so hungry that he could not bear his hunger. He fell down on the bank of the river Yamuna, unconscious. And he had a vision at that time. He noticed his body was expanding and expanding and expanding and became one with the universe. Then he experienced, no, I am not a vagabond. I am the self. I am the Atman. I pervade everywhere, everything. That experience he had. I'm talking about the experience of oneness. Once Sri Ramakrishna in Kashipur prayed to the Divine Mother, Mother, if due to this throat pain, I cannot eat anything. Even I cannot swallow farina pudding. Mother, please fix, could you do something so that I can swallow a little bit food? Divine Mother told him, why do you want to eat through your body? You are eating through million mouths. Why do you want to eat through your own one mouth? It is called the experience of oneness. That same Atman is within you, within me, within all. You know, sometimes I feel this way. are these teachings will remain in the book? Or will they come to our lives? If they do not come to our lives, then what is the use of reading the scriptures? Nobody can destroy the self, the Atma. Swami Vivekananda met a group of cowboys in California in 1900. He lectured on the self, on the Atman. And the boys, young boys, you know, were very much inspired. They invited Swamiji to give a lecture in their range. And Swamiji went there. And when he went, he found there was nobody. Then some people assembled and said, "Oh, yes, yes, you are supposed to give a lecture here." They put a oil drum on a street and asked Swami Vivekananda to give a lecture. And some young, boys, cowboys assembled. Swamiji was talking about the self, on the Atma. Then one boy shot Swamiji. Several bullets passed, through by the side of his ears. For a minute he stopped, but he continued. Then these cowboys are very much happy. Here is our hero who is fearless. I am the self, I am the Atman. This thing happened in California in 1900. He experienced that self, that I am indestructible. None can kill me. Atma Avinashi. Atman is indestructible. It is immutable. It does not expand. It does not contract. It is always the same. The consciousness which was in the embryo, same consciousness will be connected with the body till death. Consciousness does not change. Body changes. The mind changes. But consciousness will always remain the same. That is God according to Vedanta. That is the self. So do you want to take care of yourself or do you want to take care of your body and mind? Lishwami, we want both. That is a very good way to think about this self. You see, this body is nothing. At the same time, without body, Atman cannot function. Atman is actionless. But Atman functions with the inside, with the body-mind organism. You see, you need a boat to cross the river. This body is the boat. Swami, why did I come to this world? Due to your karma. You wanted to come to this world. If you do not want, you will not come back. Who brought me back to this world, Swami? Your desires, none else. Your parents did not bring you. It is wrong if you think that my parents brought me to this world. Your karma, your desires brought you to this world. And if you stop your desires, no more rebirth for you. This is the whole mystery of the Atma. Well, where shall I go? You will not have to go anywhere. You will be one with that cosmic consciousness. Avinashi tu tad vidhi yena sarvam idam tatam vinasam abhya. It is immutable. It has no form. Next verse.
अन्तबन्तै मे देह नित्यस्योक्ता शरीरिण अनाशीनो अप्रमेयस्य तस्मात् युद्धस्व भारत. कृष्ण सेज ओन्ली द बॉडीज ऑफ विच द इटर्नल इम्पेरिशेबल इनकॉम्प्रिहेंसिबल सेल्फ इज द इंडवेलर आर सेड टू हैव एन एंड फाइट देयरफॉर ओ भारत. This body has a beginning. This body has an end. But the Atma is beginningless, endless, nitya, eternal. Anashino, imperishable, aprameya, incomprehensible. Krishna gave three adjectives. First, nitya, eternal. What is eternal? The thing which exists in past, present, and future. That is eternal. That is the self, the Atma. Second, anashino, anashi. Which is indestructible. Krishna will explain further that fire cannot burn, the air cannot dry, water cannot wet, the sword cannot cut. That is yourself. When Alexander the Great went to India in 327 BC, expressed, you know, wanted to bring some Brahmins to Greece. But that Brahmin refused. He was an illumined soul. Alexander said, if you disobey me, I shall cut you into pieces. That Brahmin replied, oh foolish king, don't express your foolishness anymore. You cannot cut me. You can cut my body, but you cannot cut my Atma, myself. And Alexander understood his greatness. Avinashi, antabanta imye deha, deha. Deha means body. You have three bodies. Don't think that you have only one body. You have three bodies you are carrying. Gross body, subtle body, causal body. Gross body is nourished by food and drink, a flesh and bone. This is the structure. They call it annamaya kosha, elementary sheath. Then you have a subtle body. Subtle body has three sheaths, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya. Pranamaya means vital sheaths, energy, breathing, the vital forces of your body. Second, your mental sheath. Third, your intellectual sheath. These three sheaths constitute the subtle body. Then you have another body, causal body. That is called Anandamaya Kosha, blissful sheath. Behind these five sheaths, there is the Atman. That Atman, the Self, is within you. So when you want to realize that Atman, you will have to remove these five sheaths one after another. That is called a spiritual journey. When you meditate, do you think I am a body, I am a body, how beautiful is my nose, how beautiful are my ears, how beautiful are my hair, how beautiful my fingers? Do you think that way? You do not do that. You transcend from your gross body at that time. Do you think at that time, oh, my mind, you know, there are so many complexities, so many, I do not know this and that, you know. You do not think even your mind. You do not think about your senses. In deep meditation, you just like to fly to the toward the infinite. You know, Vedanta will explain all these things to you, that what is going on inside you, where you are stuck. Vedanta will point you all those things. Panchagosha and avasthatraya. You have three stages. Waking stage, dream stage, and sleeping stage. Dreamless sleep. You will have to pass these three stages. Then you will reach the self, transcendental realm, the Atman. Vedanta says, you are like a fish, continuously rotating in a river. Sometimes you are this bank of the river, sometimes you are in the middle, sometimes you are the other bank of the river. Again you go back. Waking state, you go to work, then come back home, thinking, mentally you are thinking so many things, that is a dream state. Then you go to bed, there also you dream, then you go to dreamless sleep, next morning you get up. So you are a fish traveling all through your life in these three stages. Vedanta says you will be bored if you move only those three stages, enjoy the other stage. If you really want to enjoy your life, that is Turiya, transcendental realm. You are seeking bliss, joy. You do not know how much joy you will get there. That is the source of bliss. Eeshaisa paramagatihi, eeshaisa paramananda, eetasaivananda labdhananda matrabhu matra upajivanti. This is the supreme bliss. This is the source of bliss. Getting a particle of that bliss, ordinary human beings are overjoyed. So when you go to the transcendental realm, you go to the source of bliss. Sri Ramakrishna said, if a tiny ant goes to a sugar mountain, what will happen to that tiny ant? Could you imagine? That ant will imagine, will think, oh, I shall carry the whole sugar mountain on my back to my little hole. The tiny ant is supposed to be satisfied with one particle of sugar, but he got sugar mountain. Could you imagine the condition of that poor tiny ant? Try to compare yourself with that. With this analogy, that really I am a tiny ant. If I get the blissful ocean, what shall I do? You will be flooded in bliss. You will be swept away by the current of that bliss. Bliss is the goal of human life. You earn money, you make home. You have this and that. Why? What for? For bliss, for joy. That is the only thing meaningful in human life. Everything is worthless, meaningless. Bliss is the goal. With Vedanta will point out again and again, bliss. How to attain bliss? Only in the self, in the Atman. Nowhere else. Bliss is not in the body. Body senses are like different parts of your car. If the parts go all right, then the car will move all right. But if the parts, you know, do not cooperate, then your car will not move. But the purpose of getting a car is to reach your destination, your home. So this body is the car, will take you to the destination, that is your Atma, the Self. This is from, you know, from the dualistic standpoint. Non-dualistic standpoint, there is no going, coming, no spiritual discipline, no meditation, nothing of the sort. There is another school. That school says, why do you meditate? Do not meditate. It is wrong. You are thinking that you are bound, you will have to be free. That very conception is wrong. You are ever free. You are never bound. You are imagining that you are bound and you will have to meditate to remove that bondage. You are imagining. Actually, you are that Self, you are the Atma. Remove those five sheaths, remove your desire and doubt, you will see the Self. That beautiful gem is covered by mud. Remove the mud, gem is already there. That is Vedanta's non-dualistic standpoint. That self-luminous Self is always there. Only remove the ignorance. You will not have to do anything. It is there. If the king of the country goes out at night in disguise to see the condition of the people, and due to his, you know, out of his curiosity, if he wants to see the king of the country, he was in disguise. If he wants to see the king of the country, will he ever see the king? He himself the king. He himself is the king. That is the position of non-dualistic Vedanta. You are the Atman. You know it, or if you do, or if you do not know it, doesn't matter. You are the Self. Lishwami, how can I get that conviction? Through practice. Take lessons from a teacher. Then practice it. Have faith that I am the Atman, I am the Self. You will make it in this very life. Krishna says, Antabanta ime deha nitya sokta sharirinaha anashino aprameyasya tasma yuddhasya bharata. Aprameyo, this Atman cannot be proved. But what do you mean, Swami? Well, if you want to prove something, then you need some kind of instruments, but no worldly instrument can touch the Atman. Let me explain to you what is in my mind. There are six evidences according to Vedanta. First evidence is pratyaksha, perception. You exist. Who says? My eyes. I see you, so you exist. Perception. This knowledge of you is coming through my senses. This is called pratyaksha, perception. Second kind of evidence is called shabda, sound, or verbal testimony, or the scripture. Reading the scripture, I know God exists. Or my guru said God exists. It is called verbal testimony. I have faith in my teacher who told me God exists, who told me the goal of human life is to realize God. I believe it 100%. Time to time I may have forgetfulness, but from the very core of my heart I believe it, that God exists. It is called verbal testimony. That evidence, that knowledge of God is coming through sound, through scripture, through the utterance of the teacher. Third kind is called inference. Seeing the smoke, I can guess there must be fire. Because my previous knowledge says where there is smoke, there is fire. So in this way, there are six evidences in Vedanta, which Swami Shat Prakashanandaji discussed these things elaborately in his Method of Knowledge. These evidences, you know, cannot prove the Atma. Aprameyasya. Well, Swami, then it does not exist. The thing which cannot be proved by intellect, it does not exist. You cannot say that. Here is a mirror. You saw your face and you have the experience, you know, you see how beautiful your face is. Then I took away the mirror from your hand and destroyed it. Will you forget your face? You have the glimpse of your face on the mirror. But the mirror is there. You cannot see your face again. But that experience will not go. So what Vedanta says that through this world, the senses, you see where the mind cannot go, the intellect cannot go, where the sense organs cannot go, how can you reach there? That is the Atman, that is the Self. Do you know what is in their mind? Their mind is, they want to say that you cannot limit the infinite. When you try to see through the eyes, you are limiting that thing. When you see through your mind, you are limiting that object. When you try to understand through the intellect, you are limiting that infinite. But it is the infinite Brahman. It cannot be limited by the senses. Your knowledge through the body-mind organism, through the intellect, through the mind, through the senses, are imperfect. They are not complete. With incomplete instruments, you cannot understand the complete, the full, the whole, the infinite. Well, how can I, Swami, is it possible to get the glimpse of the infinite? It is possible. Swami Advaitananda gave a beautiful illustration. I have never found such illustration anywhere in the scripture. He said, have you seen the gentle dew in the morning? You may see it on a flower petal or on grass or on the leaf. Small, tiny dew. In autumn, especially, you will see the dew drops at night time. In the morning, you can go outside and you can see those dew drops. If you watch carefully, you can get the glimpse of infinite blue sky in the tiny dew drop. What a beautiful example. I have never found such example in my life. In that connection, you know, about the Atman. So when the mind becomes pure, on that pure mind, that infinite Brahman reflects. Whole mystery is there. Why do you practice spiritual disciplines? Just to clean your mind, nothing else. And the pure mind, easy to control. Impure mind, very difficult to control. And who is happy? He who has a pure mind. Because his mind is free from garbage. He floats in happiness, in joy, in bliss. You will find all spiritual people are very simple, straight. You won't find any crookedness in their minds. Very simple. His simplicity comes after birth, hard spiritual disciplines. Amazing phenomenon, this simplicity. Incomprehensible. It is not comprehended by the senses, by the mind, or by any other instrument of knowledge. The Self is svatasiddha, determined by itself. Being the knowing consciousness, it cannot be known by any other instrument. Everything else is known by the Self. The immediate and direct experience of I am I is the basis of all cognition. The statements of the scriptures regarding the Self do not serve the purpose of directly revealing its true nature. They only eliminate all the attributes falsely superimposed upon it. Antabanta ime deha nitto nittoissa. Nitta nittoissa anashino aprameyoissa. So three adjectives Krishna put it on the self. It is eternal, it is indestructible, it is incomprehensible. Incomprehensible to whom? To the man of ignorance. But it reveals to the man of knowledge. Then Krishna said, Tasmat, therefore, Yuddhasya Bharata, fight, O Bharata. Now here is a Western dilemma. People say that Krishna asked Arjuna to fight. Actually, Krishna did not ask him to fight. But then why? It is an exact word is there. It is called Anuvada. It is a technical word. Anuvada means translation. Actual word is translation. Let me give an example, then you will understand. You prepared spaghetti for me. Spaghetti. And perhaps I have never eaten that thing in my whole life. I had some conception of earthworm. They look like spaghetti. I do not know whether you have seen or not. But there are some people, those who want to catch fish, they sometimes dig in the ground and take them, that earthworm, you know, quechua we call it, with the bait, you know, they put it in the bait and they catch fish. So, to my knowledge, spaghetti, most probably, yeah, my goodness, but as the American people eat earthworm, you know, I may think that way. Or suppose one of my friends may tease me, hey, shh, you are eating earthworm. Immediately I may stop eating. Oh, no, I shall not touch it. Oh, thank you very much. Could you remove this thing from my plate? Then my host said to me, oh no, it is spaghetti. It is, you know, I brought from Italy. It is a delicacy, Italian delicacy. You know, you can take some tomato sauce or some meat and this way you can enjoy it. Still I have doubt. But if I see my host is eating, you know, enjoying, relishing the thing. Well, I can tell you, my host may convince me. Well, shall I bring the label of the packet? So she brought the label and I read it. Yes, it is made from flour and this and that. Oh, you convinced me. So I have started to take the food. Then the host says, please eat, eat. Krishna did the same thing to Arjuna. He came to fight. He requested Arjuna requested Krishna to become his charioteer. All of a sudden he said, I shall not fight. Then Krishna said, fight. It is Anuvada, you know. He came to fight. He said, why did you stop? For these reasons are, you know, I remove your doubt. Then now you can go ahead. You go and fight. Actually, the fight which we find in the Gita, it is not a real fighting. Do you know what is that? Krishna is putting Arjuna to practice his karma yoga. You fellow want to escape. You do not want to perform your duty. Fellow, you are a married man. And all of a sudden, your little renunciation came to your mind. You said, I'm going to renounce you. I'm going to be a monk. Then as you went to the abbot of the monastery, abbot said, oh no, go ahead. You have duty to your wife, please fulfill your duty. Again you came back. Not that holy man, that abbot asked you to go and become a householder. You were a householder. Just for the time being, you know, you had some inspiration. You came to the monastery to join, he again sent you back. Same thing happened to you. He came to fight, but later on he was reluctant to fight. Krishna said, go ahead, fight. See, actually Krishna is not asking him to fight. He induced Arjuna to perform karma yoga. Very interesting. It is not the injunction of the scripture. You see, injunction of the scripture is do you know what is the injunction of the Aharav Sannam Upasitam Sargukama Jajitam? If you want heaven, if you want to go to heaven, you perform sacrifice, pour oblation to the fire god in the morning, in the noon, and in the evening, at noon and in the evening. This is called injunction of the scripture. The scripture is telling you to do this, or aharav sannam upasita, practice your meditation. Twice a day, the junction between night and day, and the junction between day and night is two times, twice. Please sit down and meditate. This is called injunction of the scripture. The scripture is asking you to do this. But Krishna is not giving an injunction to Arjuna to fight. You see, it is different. If you say that Krishna is asking Arjuna, you go and fight, Krishna did not say that. He came to fight. For the time being, he was afraid. He was deluded, confused. So Krishna just saying, go ahead. You have came to fight. You have come to fight. Fight. All right, you can ask me questions. You see, somebody was praising Edison about his success in life, about his success, about his beautiful invention. He said, you are talking about my success. I know 50,000 methods do not work. So behind this success, there are 50,000 failures. You are praising me about my success. I went through all those failures. Those failures are my great teachers. We learned so many things through our mistakes. Now you may say, Swami, if I make all these mistakes, they are accumulated, you know, how shall I carry the result of all those mistakes? That is a vital question in spiritual life. Krishna will tell you, Gana Agni Sarvakarmani Bhasmashat Kurite Arjuna. Listen, Arjuna, the knowledge which I am going to give you, it is a terrific knowledge. It will burn all of your actions which you have accumulated this life and previous lives. It will burn into ashes in the twinkling of an eye. As a lot of hay, you know, can be burned by a single spark of fire. So this spark of the knowledge of the Atman, of Brahman, will destroy all of your actions, will knock out in no time. Very hopeful. Another place Krishna says, in the last part of the sixth chapter of the Gita, Arjuna asked that what happens to the fallen yogis? Do they become scattered clouds, O Krishna? Do they go astray? Oh, Arjuna, nothing is lost. Nahi kaschit kshanamopi. No. Nothing is lost. Nahi kaschit kshanamopi jatvatishthiti. Nahi kallanakrit kaschit dukatim tato gacchati. My son, listen. Nothing is lost. The person who started to practice yoga but could not make it, could not complete it, his attainment will go with him. Whatever he achieved in that very life will go with him. I see this way. Perhaps a man is born in this life, perhaps he got his school degree. Next life, perhaps intermediate degree. Next life, bachelor's degree. Next life, perhaps master's degree. In all first life, perhaps seldom a person gets master's degree, you know. He had to pass through all this long way. What I think this way, you see? Nothing is lost. Krishna promised in another place in the Gita. Name bhakta pranashyati, O Arjuna, my devotee never perishes. If you sincerely love God, if you have faith in God, if you depend on Him, He will do everything for you.
Om asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrittor ma amritam gamaya, abir abir ma yedhi, rudrayate dakshinam mukham, tinamam pahi nityam, om shanti shanti shantihim. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace.